Morning, where we left off last Sunday, and we may not finish as much as I want to do today, but we'll see how far we can get. May take a little extra time, not sure about that. But turn to Genesis chapter 24 again, and we're going to start reading at verse 28. Now, we read and covered those verses a little bit last week, but just by way of catching up, if you were not here, you would get caught up, because the second half of this chapter is a verbal review of what took place in the first half of the chapter. That just really dawned on me this week. So the story is told twice, one in the action and one by the servant of Abraham retelling Rebekah's family the process that he went through in choosing her. So I think the second half, if you missed it, it'll bring you up to speed. All right, verse 28. Then the girl ran and told her mother's household about these things. The girl there, of course, is Rebekah, who had given water to the camels, to the servant, Abraham's servant, and to the camels. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. Some translations call this a spring, some translations call it a well. It may certainly have been a combination of both, a well that was spring-fed. And usually there were steps down into the level of the water. So get that picture. And it came about that when he saw the ring, the bracelets, on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, "This is what the man said to me," he went to the man, and behold, he was standing by the camels at the spring. That seems like an innocent phrase, doesn't it? Where did you find the servant of Abraham? Standing by the camels at the well. What a picture of faithfulness. What a picture of faithfulness. And he said, "Come in." Laban is speaking, Rebekah's brother. "Come in, blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside, since I have prepared the house and a place for the camels?" The servant had asked Rebekah, "Do you have space for lodging, and can you take care of the camels?" And so she runs home and tells her mother, tells her brother, and the place is prepared. So the man entered the house, the man being Abraham's servant. Then Laban, the brother, unloaded the camels, and he gave straw and feed to the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. The foot washing was very important in the East. And it speaks very little about bathing, but washing of feet is spoken of many times in the scripture. So they're getting ready to sit down to this meal. And Rebekah's mother's house, I suppose. And when food was brought out and set before him to eat, he said, "I will not eat until I have been, till I have told my business." It's probably been a long day. The servant is probably hungry. The men who are with him are probably hungry. But the first thing they do when they sit down is not eat. Abraham's servant says, I will not eat until I have told you what my purpose is, what my business is in being here. And so he begins to tell, I am Abraham's servant. Now that would ring, because this is a part of Abraham's family. This is a part of Abraham's brother, Nahor, his family. So they know the name of Abraham. They may not have seen each other in many, many years, likely not. But they know the name. And he said, I will not eat until I have told you my business. And he said, speak on. Laban tells him, the brother, speak. Tell us your story. And so he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he has become rich, and he has given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and servants and maids and camels and donkeys. You can run out of breath almost describing the wealth of Abraham. Now Sarah, my master's wife, remember, she died in chapter 23, bore a son to my master in her old age, and he has given him all that he has. So everything that my master has, he's given to his son, Isaac. So Isaac, this unmarried young man, he's 40, by the way, is going to be a wealthy, wealthy man. And my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. The Canaanites populated the area where Abraham was living. Even though it's the promised land, the Canaanites were living there now. These anti-God, heathen people populated that area. Abraham is where he's supposed to be. He's in the land that God led him to go to. But he said, my son cannot marry someone from these wicked Canaanites. But you shall go to my father's house and to my relatives and take a wife for my son. He says, my master, Abraham, made me swear I would not take a wife from these people. You see, as you read this chapter, it is full of imagery. This servant, this unnamed servant, represents the Holy Spirit. He's seeking a wife for Isaac. What is the Holy Spirit doing in our world today? He is preparing a bride for the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride being the church, the ones who are called out of the paganism and the heathenism and the wickedness of this world. To use this chapter as an illustration, folks, we're the children of Abraham living in the land of the Canaanites. And so the Holy Spirit is calling out through the gospel, calling people to become the bride of Christ. The servant is there seeking a bride for Isaac to take him to the promised land where Isaac dwells. My master made me swear that I'll not take one from the Canaanites. And I said to my master, suppose the woman does not want to come. And he said to him, the Lord before whom I have walked will send his angel with you to make your journey successful. Abraham gives him a prophetic word there. Abraham says, God will send his angel with you to direct you, to make your journey successful. And you will take a wife for my son from my relatives and from my father's house. So he's among Abraham's brother's family. Nahor was a younger brother of Abraham. And I forget her name at the moment. Milcah, I believe it was. It's in here. We'll come to it, I'm sure, in a few moments. The Lord before whom I walk, he says, will send his angel and make your way prosperous. So with that word of prophecy, now we're going to see it begin to unfold. The servant is going to go to Abraham's relatives. We're going to see how he was led so exactly, in minute detail. Even sometimes the very words that were spoken were words that he prayed as he searched for the right young woman. If she won't come, you'll be cleared from the oath that you have taken. You're not responsible. Once you make a contact, once you make the invitation, then it's up to them to accept it. If they don't, you're not responsible. That's a good lesson to learn as well. And so, verse 42, so I came today to the spring. See, he's telling them, sitting at the dinner table, what took place today out by the well, and how he met Rebecca, and what Rebecca said, what Rebecca did. He's telling them at the dinner table. This is such a beautiful passage. Behold, I am standing by the spring. And may it be that the maiden who comes out to draw and to whom I say, please let me drink a little water from your jar, and she will say to me, here's what I'm going to say, and if this is the one, here's what she says back to me. Let's see if it happens. See if it happens. Please let me drink a little water from the jar. And she will say to me, you drink and I will draw for your camels also. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Do you pray that specifically? I mean, the very words. You see, the servant wants to be sure. If he makes a mistake here, if something goes wrong here, the whole of the Word of God will be turned on its ear. This is a very crucial part of Abraham's life and the building of the nation of Israel and the coming of the Messiah. Point by point by point by point. So I came today earlier in the day to the spring. He got there about the time that the young women, late in the day, by the way, when the young women were coming out to draw water. That was a woman's work. That was part of her job, her household job. And if you had daughters, you sent your daughter to carry the water. Let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. Before I had finished speaking, in other words, the words were still coming out of the servant's mouth. Before I had finished speaking, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder and went down to the spring and drew. And I said to her, please let me drink. He prayed that the one that he spoke to would be the one when he asked a drink. Not only would she give him water, she would give his camels water. She quickly lowered her jar from her shoulder, carrying it on the shoulder, and said, drink, and I will water your camels also. I will remain dignified, but I think the servant must have jumped up and down and clapped and praised God, because he's found her. He's found her. The very words that he prayed, she said to him. Confirmation. Confirmation. She said, drink, and I will water your camels also. Now here's the work. This is going to be work for that woman. We know that there are 10 camels in this camel train. Last week, I couldn't tell you, I hadn't been able to find anybody who would make a guess as to how much each camel would hold. I found one that I consider a reliable source. The average camel can hold 20 gallons of water. The capacity in that hump or humps to hold 20 gallons. And there are 10 of them, so besides the men and anybody else in the entourage, so we're talking about 200 plus gallon that she's going to have to go down into that well and draw and bring back and bring back and bring back until they've all drunk. So I drank, and she watered the camels. See that last phrase? So I drank, and she watered the camels. Then I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, Abraham's brother's son, was her father. Whom Milcah bore to him. Now, what does that make Rebekah to Nahor? His granddaughter. His granddaughter. Abraham's brother's granddaughter is the woman of choice in this story. And I put a ring on her nose. I don't know how that worked. A ring on her nose and bracelets on her wrists. She's marked. She's identified. And I bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. There it is in one verse. He's telling the family what's happened that day. He bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. Daughter there would be granddaughter. So now if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. If not, let me know that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. What's he doing now? He's asking permission from the family to take Rebecca out of their midst and take her to Abraham's son in marriage. Let me know. Let me know. Are you going to let her go or not? And I said to my master, suppose the woman does not follow. He goes through all of that portion again. So he says, today I came to the spring. And he began to pray that his journey would be successful. I'm standing by the spring. And may it be that the maiden who comes out, and she's the one who came out. Before he finished speaking, she's there. He says, give me a drink. So that's what happened. Whose daughter are you? Bethuel is my father, Nahor's son. So now if you are going to deal kindly and truly with my master, he's talking to the family. If you're going to, in good faith, say yes, Rebecca may go to Abraham and to Isaac. The God of my master Abraham, who had guided me in the right way to take the daughter of my master's kinsman for his son. So 49 says, all right, do we have a deal? Do we have a deal? If we don't have a deal, tell me, so I can continue to look. That's what he's saying in verse 49. Let me know, that I may turn to the right or turn to the left. I've still got to search. I've still got to look. If she's not going with me, then I still have to carry out my responsibility, finding a bride for Isaac. Then Laban and Bethuel answered her father and her brother. Well, her brother and her father. The matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you good or bad. They recognized that God was in this, that God was the behind the scenes moving and directing. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. So there's the first response. She can go. We recognize the hand of God in this matter. And it came about when Abraham's servant heard these words that he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. Now go back up to verse 48. What did the servant do in verse 48? I bowed low and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord. Verse 52. When he heard the words from Laban and Bethuel, he bowed himself to the ground before the Lord. This man knew what it was to worship. Twice here at the supper table, he has bowed to God. He recognizes the hand of God. And he worships God. And the servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. And he also gave precious things to her brother and her mother. Here's the dowry. Here's the dowry. Here are the tokens of Abraham's wealth. Here are the tokens of the wealth into which she is going to marry. Now, I'm not going to spend time on this, but as you read this chapter, you get the strong feeling that Nahor's family is not poverty-stricken by any means. And yet what they see from Abraham's servant is so overwhelmingly more, perhaps, than they have ever seen or known, that they recognize the wealth of these people. As the servant brings out all of these articles. Then he and the men who were with him ate. Wonder how long they've been sitting here at the supper table. Things are getting cold as he tells his story. And now they're ready to eat. Just now. They're ready to eat. He and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they rose in the morning, he said, "Send me away to my master." He hasn't been there 24 hours. He's been on a journey probably of a month from down in the Negev to up in the northern area of Mesopotamia, between the Tigris and Euphrates River. Between 500 and 600 miles they have traveled. It's been at least a 30-day trip. When they get up the next morning, he is saying, they rose in the morning, "Send me away to my master. Send me away." Why the rush? Jesus said one time, "I must be about my Father's business." This servant was sent on an errand for Abraham. He must be about Abraham's business. Abraham wasn't sent over there to take a vacation. He wasn't sent over there to rest. He was sent over there on a mission. Find a woman for my son Isaac. She's been found. They agreed the night before, sitting at the supper table. He sleeps and gets up and says to his entourage, "Let's go home." That takes the family by surprise. I mean, they begin to mumble and stumble and hem and haw. And they said, "Well, why don't you take 10 days? Why don't you take 10 days before you leave?" They were trying to slow this process down. They really hadn't had a chance to talk it over. But her brother and her mother said, "Let the girl stay with us a few days, say 10, afterwards she may go." Well, 10 days seems reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, if you and I were doing it. Rebecca's got to pack. Rebecca's got to pack. I don't know how they did that overnight, but the next day, the servant says, "Let's go." He's completed his mission. He's to bring her to Abraham for Isaac. No delay as far as he is concerned. And so the brother and the mother try to talk the servant. "No, let's just wait and talk about this for a while. Let's think about this. Let's do some planning about this. Let's don't get in a hurry." This would be a jolt to this family to lose this beautiful daughter, granddaughter. The scripture says she was beautiful. There's a clash sometimes between what we want and what God has instructed. They looked at it from a fleshly standpoint. The servant is looking at it from a spiritual standpoint. Abraham has sent him on a divine mission to find the right woman for Isaac to marry, not a Canaanite. She is so important to the history of the nation as it's beginning to be formed. Abraham and Sarah, then Isaac and Rebekah. The embryonic forming of the nation of Israel in this chapter. So they said, "Well, let's call her." And they said, "We will call the girl and consult her wishes." Amazing. Up to this point, nobody said, "Rebecca, do you want to go with him?" These are the older adults in the room making this deal that's going to affect the rest of Rebecca's life. And they haven't consulted with her. "We call the girl and consult her wishes. Then they call Rebecca and said to her, 'Will you go with this man?' And she said, 'I will go. I will go.'" She doesn't hesitate. She doesn't hesitate. Jesus' disciples left all and followed him. Oh, there was some backsliding. You know, they got off the track once in a while. But when push came to shove, they were all in except the traitor, Judas. Thus they sent away. They sent away their sister. She was Laban's sister. And her nurse. You know what her nurse's name was? Deborah. In Genesis chapter 35. When Deborah died, Genesis chapter 35, something like verse 8, speaks about her death. But not only did she have a nurse with her, she had her maidens with her. She had her own private entourage that had to get ready to go that day. Wow. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, that is her family, they blessed Rebecca and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. May you be a mother of a multitude. Generations, generations, generations. And may your people be the overcomers. May they be the victors. That is so, so very important. Rebecca rose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man, the servant. And so the servant took Rebecca and departed. But we're not done yet, because she is not home yet. Give me a few more minutes. Let's take her home, okay? Beginning at verse 61. Then Rebekah rose with her maids. They mounted the camels. They followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer Lahai-Roi. For he was living in the Negev. Beer Lahai-Roi was famous for a well that was there. There was a town there, but there was a well there that sort of took care of the water supply for that area. That's where he lived. And Isaac went out to meditate, to think and to pray. Toward evening, sun's going down. He goes for a walk out in one of his fields to pray, to think. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. The camels are coming. What does that mean? His bride is coming. You think his heart leaped? He recognized the camel train as being one of Abraham's. But there's a lot more people than left that are coming now. Not only the bride, but the nurse and the maids and anyone else that they wanted to bring. It didn't make any difference. Abraham was rich. He could take care of it. And about the same time, verse 64 takes place. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. So he sees the camel train. She sees one man walking out there in the field. Who is that? Who is that? She said to the servant, "Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?" Does she know? Does she know? It's Isaac. The servant said, "He is my master. He is my master." This time the word master doesn't refer to Abraham, because the scripture in this chapter already tells us Abraham has given all of his wealth to his son. So the servant now literally is working for Isaac. He's bringing this bride, this beautiful young woman. To Isaac. Interesting verse here, verse 64, when she saw Isaac, she dismounted. It's the Hebrew word that means to fall. If you want to read it literally, she fell off the camel. Now, translators clean up the words sometimes and put it more in the vernacular. She dismounted. The King James says she lighted off her camel. But the Hebrew word literally means she fell off. She got off. Who is this man? My master. So she took a veil, which was the proper thing, a cloth that covered her whole body, not only her face, but her whole body. Remember, she's not married yet. And so she wears the veil. The servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. I wonder what Isaac said. Did Isaac say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? You believe this man was a good and faithful servant? Amen. He was. He's carried out the master's will. So Isaac brought her into his mother's tent. Now in chapter 23, remember, his mother's tent is empty because the mother has died. And he loved her. And he loved her. We talk about love at first sight. I don't know if you believe in that or not. I think it certainly is possible. There could be an attraction at first sight. But he's comforted. He's comforted. After his mother's death. That's been about 3 years. But when he sees Rebecca, when he knows that she's going to be a part of his future, a part of his life, he is comforted. Now, it's a little corny, but I want to tell you one last story. I've told this before. My mother died in early March of 1956. I was a freshman at Bob Jones. And I was home for 5 days before I flew back. And at the same old table. And a few days later, we changed tables every 3 weeks. So we changed tables. And that was the table where I met Jan. Had not seen her before. She wasn't the campus beauty queen. The president's son got the campus beauty queen. And she was a lovely, lovely lady. But we went to Bible conference together. I told you this story a week or two ago. Every day. And there were benches all over the yard area on campus. You could sit on the grass. And so forth. So we did a lot of that week, starting with Easter. And my father had a difficult time with the loss of his wife, my mother. It did not affect me as deeply, of course, as the loss of my wife has been to me. And one of the reasons I'm now convinced that shortly after that, God brought Jan into my life. And I told my father that summer, I said, she will be the next Mrs. Nash. Didn't know near enough about her to make that statement, but that statement was made with great assurance. She would be the next Mrs. Nash. And so whatever grief and loss and sorrow, and there was, I was comforted by the fact of her presence in my life. I understand that passage. Isaac grieved the loss of his mother and the bringing of Rebecca into his life. Gave great comfort, and he loved her. To me, this is one of the greatest chapters in the Word of God, the story that it tells. And so I'm going to continue on for the next couple of weeks preaching from this chapter. Now, we'll use the same information, but we're going to package it in a different way. We'll make some applications. We'll give you a more solid outline. It'll be more like a sermon than a devotional. That's what the last two Sundays have been. The devotional study of this chapter. The emotional study of this chapter. We'll try to put some more meat together next Sunday. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at Genesis 24. What a blessing. What a blessing, Father. What an encouragement to see how these people played out their roles. How Abraham's servant, such a faithful, godly man, such a worshiping man, a man who prayed, explicitly for an answer and got the very words. Lord, it's a story that's told with great joy. It ends well. But there's a whole life before Isaac and Rebekah, and many hard days and hard times and hard years in their lives. And some of us know what that's about. Help us to come back to this chapter, Lord, from time to time, and just read it and be washed in the water of the Word. Refreshed as we see your hand, as we see answers to prayer, as we see provisions made for the will of God to be carried out. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray. Amen.